So I'll call the Finance Committee to order. Adopt or amend the agenda?
Move approval.
Lisa?
Second.
Second by Wayne. Third quarter financials, we will need an action on that, and that's
take a vote, please.
Oh, yeah, we get better vote on the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Third quarter financial report. This is an action one. They're on page 3, and I would imagine Amy's going to take that.
Starting on page 3, this is just as of September 30th, and I'll update some areas as they pertain to the end of October as well. The miscellaneous receipts line continues to average about $9,000 a month, so year-end receipts should be around $100,000. Interest income is also on track to exceed this year's budget. Receipts at the end of September were 90% received. Moving on to page 4, this is reflective of the balances on September 30th, 2022. Today, Magic Liquid Savings is paying 3.78%, and that's up from 2.48% that you see on the report here. And there are 4 certificates of deposit that will come up for renewal left to go in 2022. Jumping ahead to page 6, that illustrates the 2022 receipts as a percentage against the overall budget. On September 30th, receipts were 83.5% received. And we wanted to draw your attention that grant payments for fiscal year 2022 and 2023 are behind at the state level this year. There's been a lot of turnover and training, so some of the receipts that we normally expect in September and October have yet to come in. The one important one to note is that this affects the ROBSS grant funding, and that's that big amount that we rely on every year. Those delays were because of missing components in the formula at the state level. Karen just received word this week that those initial payments should be coming hopefully in November. But normally on this report, you'd already see a payment towards 2023.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, and the fiscal year 2022 RLTA grant payment, that final payment will be received this month as well. On page 7 and 8, these are the expenses as they compare to 2021. Expenses are coming in as normal. They were 65% spent against the budget year at the end of quarter 3. Personnel was at 70% of the budget lines, mainly due to the way we slowed hiring during the summer because of the retirements and the training that we were going through as well. And then the other line I wanted to draw your attention to was the vehicle fuel line. Cost per gallon in 2022 is reflective of that line being overspent. Library materials and automation spending is expected to be at 100% at year-end, and expenses in these areas are cyclical, so renewals are starting to come in now in November and December. Overall expenditures are running 1.4% higher than 2021, which is to be expected, and that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Amy? I really like your spreadsheets on this, Amy. How they're done out. How about I see in vehicle insurance is up too, huh?
Yes.
And I don't know if that's a reflection of what everybody else is feeling personally or not.
Isn't that because we had an extra vehicle too?
Well, it was partly due to that, but also the rate increase this year was high, and again going into next year, I know it's going to be higher as well. So, I think that's a reflection of our budget being set so early in the year.
Who do we insure with?
MCIT.
MCIT. Okay.
Do you have any concerns, Amy? It's a lot. I mean, I peeked through it. I poked through it. I noticed that $6,468 that jumped out at me.
And realistically, for the amount of miles that we drive, that's probably not a real big number compared to what you know, what I see out there on the farm and that's probably not.
And it's also reflective of a different way that the library is doing their vehicle gas expense. Prior to me starting, there was a bigger balance at First Fuel, and the library chose to use that up.
Okay.
And so now we're paying for fuel as we go. So it could be reflective of that as could well. Be, but I have no concerns.
Could be bigger, could be and lower next year. Who knows?
Right.
Can
right.
we get gas at Costco?
I suppose it was like 3:04 today. Right?
I come early just to get gas there.
First Fuel is a pretty good deal, too.
Yeah, I would their think prices so. Are changing all the time. So they are coming back down now as the year progresses. But those summer months kind of hit everybody hard. So.
Yeah.
Oberon's opened a new store in Buffalo, and they held all the gas prices down. So it was like you were paying at Costco and Sam's at, you know, say, $3. We're paying like $2.75. Or less. You know, it was like 50
Buffalo
to 60.
Buffalo has low gas. The Quick Trip or in Rockford.
Yeah, there you go.
Quick
there
Trip.
Yeah.
If
when
cheap.
I go visit my auntie in Delano, I make sure I need gas at that. I just drive around until I have to fill up. Thank you. Yes.
Any other questions? Wait, this is an action item?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve the third quarter financial report.
Wayne made a motion to approve
it.
Is there a second? Gary seconded it.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Designation of user survey, page 13.
So I put forward this knowing that November is typically when we ask for designations from an anticipated surplus. You were on the board in 2018. You might remember St. Cloud State Survey Center did a survey for us at that point in time. It's been almost 5 years, so next year will be the five-year mark since we did that survey. Be a good idea to repeat it as much as we can. I should say that when I put this document together, I hadn't gotten final estimates from them yet. I still don't have a final number, but having spoken with them one more time, they did say it would actually cost closer to $12,000. $8,000 is what we did last time. So if we were going to repeat the survey, I would ask for a designation of $12,000 for next year, and then they would do the full survey, which would include a phone survey and an online survey. They would do the reporting out to the board like they did last time in the full compilation.
How much, Karen, how much stock do we put in the survey when we're looking at doing different things in the library?
You know, it was one of the things that really informed us going into COVID. We had just finished it up, if you remember, and one of the things we had heard from people, one is if they weren't using the library, it wasn't because they didn't like the library. It's because they didn't need the library at that time. So we stopped focusing so much on new users and started talking more about borrower retention. And then we also heard that over 20% of the users were using the digital library, but our resources weren't allocated that way. And very few people were actually using programming. So we're still having those conversations about how much programming and how much time do we spend on programming, how many resources do we put in physical materials versus digital materials. So I think the follow-up survey would then focus more on why are people coming to the library once and not coming back, and what are some things we should be looking at in the next 5 years in terms of offering through the collection.
How long does the survey take them to do normally?
I think last time they did it over like a week or two.
Oh,
and
not too long.
That the most expensive part is the calling part. So we could possibly winnow the cost down a little bit if we can focus what we're asking for. One of the other things we didn't get last time was a clear picture on is there a different type of use based on the population you're from, because Central Minnesota is largely white. So if you're going to actually get a response from the BIPOC community or the immigrant community specifically, you might have to do something a little more targeted. And that's something that a phone screen could get into this time instead of trying to just reach people who weren't using the library.
Okay. Any other questions? I guess one of my thoughts would be that if it's going up $12,000, I guess I would go back to St. Cloud State's doing it, right? I would go back to them and say that, you know, we're looking at the cost of an increase of, you know, roughly 30%. And maybe we need to push it to 6 years or 7 years instead of five. You know, maybe they'll come around and say, well, we could really use, you know, we could really do the survey and we'll go back to 8,000 or something.
And how many questions do they ask?
Boy, I don't remember. It was two different surveys, if you remember. Yeah. Like, it was a completely different survey for the phone and non-user than the people who were already in our database and users. And what they've agreed to get back to me is kind of tiers within the survey costs. So this is how much it would cost to do this many emails. This is what it would cost to retrieve this many phone numbers and get this many phone results. So we can narrow the cost down and focus the survey a little more based on the actual costs that we want to reach.
Okay.
To, you know, we can make it cheaper.
We could make it cheaper, huh?
But it might mean we don't get
the same data.
Right, yeah. the degree of detail that we might be looking for.
Well, I only ask is because, like, when we did rate studies for the electric co-op, I'd do something similar. But, you know, you'd listen to experts, and they'd say, well, try to keep it to 10 questions and, you know, be targeted and be on and off the phone in, you know, X amount of time because they must have a component of, you know, labor costs X amount. So, I don't know. Whatever you guys feel is going to deliver you the best best data, but maybe there is a way to save some cost on it or and still get good data.
I do remember it was pretty concise, if I remember. They had these people off the phone pretty quickly. And pretty, yeah, I was really impressed with it, if I remember, back in 2018. And we found the information relevant. And definitely it's part, like in here it says, it's part of our strategic plan objectives. So I think maybe try to wiggle the cost around a little bit, but I think it's important for the work we do.
There's always room for negotiation in my
mind. Yeah.
You and Randy.
Don't we know it.
Yeah.
Just balance me out, huh?
Yeah. So this is an action item, or do we want to table it and wait till we get a little more concrete cost? If we see if we can compress that a little bit, what would be your wishes?
I think I would be comfortable approving it with some leeway.
Okay.
Like a cost not to exceed, you
not
think?
Not to exceed. No. I mean, if we say not to exceed 10,000, go with that. And then if they shut it down, come back to us. So I make a motion to approve this request for the St. Cloud State University Survey Center to conduct our regional survey with a cost of not to exceed $10,000.
You heard the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Wayne, second it. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Designation for network presentation testing. It's on page 15.
So we did a network penetration test in 2020, and supposed to be something we do annually, so I'm looking to take this designation and start an annual cycle and to incorporate an amount into the next budget. But we are replacing our firewalls next year, and whenever you do something like that, you open up the chance that you miss something. So it's a particularly good time after the firewall replacement to have another scan of our networks to make sure that not only we didn't mess we or the vendor doesn't mess something up when we do the firewall replacement, but that the findings that we had last time around, we have actually corrected.
Any other questions? Randy?
What did we, as far as this like $21,000 cost, did we budget that 2 years ago or 1 year ago, and now why didn't we budget it?
It was designated
okay
before, and I don't think we were ready to make it a part of the annual process, but it's time to do that now.
So this would be annual after this?
Yes, some amount would be annual. If we entered into a multi-year contract, the amount would be brought down.
Yes, all right, I know.
This is a one-shot cost, and I would consider this to be a not-to-exceed $21,000. I would be looking to have multiple vendors compete and get a much better price.
So this would be a one-year agreement, or are you going to talk?
For 1 year.
For 1 year, and then we could revisit it after the 1 year?
When we start doing budget stuff in March to see what kind of ongoing annual amount we could get.
I mean, I know that, you know, the security stuff is really up there in needs and watches, and you got so many people out there today that are trying to figure you out.
Yep.
The library's unique too because there's so many people. I see them in the morning outside and they're on your hotspot or your Wi-Fi. You're inviting them to come in.
We're in a really unique situation. We have staff networks. We have networks for the public that are our computers. We have the wireless network that anybody can bring whatever in and use. And we also have public-facing servers for our web service and other things. So we're kind of facing every direction possible, and that's, you know, our risk environment there.
Okay, you've heard it. It's an action item again.
Randy will make a motion.
Hey, is there a second? Randy and then Gary second it. Any other discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Then we'll move on to number six, the 2022 budget surplus as a 2024 revenue in the revenue department, and that is on page 17.
This has been part of our budgeting practice for a couple of years now. In 2022's budget, we have $315,218, and I can't remember what we put in for 2023. Do you? Off the top of my head, I don't remember. Yeah. Something like that. So whatever's left over when we close out the books on 2022, we would just plug that in as a revenue line for 2024 as a starting point.
Guess you can't ask for more than that.
Yeah. Ask
for more money when there's none there, right?
It is what it is. And then it doesn't go into our reserves, so the reserves don't grow.
And maybe you said this before, Karen, but why not 2023 or... We're already set.
2023 is already set, so it would be hard to plug it in for 23, so it rolls forward to 24.
What did we plug in for 2023? Do you remember? 300? I mean, no big deal.
I don't think it was that much.
It was close to 300.
Yeah.
It seems like we've been carrying forward this 300 for a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Kind of consistent.
And it's trending that way right now, too. So. Which is good. I think if it wasn't, that would be a tougher budget to figure out.
And there may be some, with the labor negotiations settled, there may be a little more room for that next year as we, you know, some of the demands we made.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going to depend on staff.
Mm-hmm. Make a motion to approve the 2022 operating surplus to be designated 2024 operating budget.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Lisa second. Wayne first. Any other discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next meeting is January 17th, 2023. Is there anything else that this committee needs to bring forth? Then I'll declare us adjourned.